is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you for hanging out with us at Davin's Den. Going to keep the show rolling right along. Easy for me to say. Having a really hard time talking tonight. So we're going to do some School of Fools, and we'll get right into it. A little Gay Pride Month, possibly.
Oh, great. That's what I thought, too.
Ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fools.
But that's weird because you usually call me first and then Joe, and Joe's low, and tonight I'm low.
You guys might be low in the Zoom mix, which I have no control over, but you guys, I think, are actually pretty good both tonight in the audio mix.
Can Mr. Hillis say if there was any echo picking up off of Facebook?
There's not. No, there's not echo on Facebook. But I'm very low.
I can't control that. I mean, I can.
Yeah, no. I know, but I'm just saying that's very interesting because this time you called me last, and I'm low, and usually you call Joe last, and he's low.
Let me see
something.
Something
to keep in mind.
See what I'm saying? Yeah.
You know what? I'm really not that interested anymore. How about that?
Oh, there's that.
You know. I'm pretty much over broadcasting the video thing to begin with. I'm fine just using the video thing for our purposes so we can see each other and just broadcasting.
Yeah, but every show's got the video element now since the pandemic, so that's something we need to maintain.
Well, I've tried. If you know somebody who can do that, I'm open to it. I have, you know, when Pip comes here and we do the Zoom, it echoes. When you guys are there, I don't know why. I mean, because we're putting it out on MP3. That's what it is. And the fact of the matter is the streaming service is better than Zoom for MP3. Now, I could record the thing, but then I got to spend hours getting the MP3 from the Zoom recording, which I'm really not that interested in doing.
All right, well, Lisa, two-eyes writing in the audio is not bad.
I think it really depends. I think a lot of it is who's listening with what device and where. Now, an advantage that Mr. Helix has is he can be in the same goddamn room as Pip, and then she'll sound loud and clear. So how do you like that? All right. Back to the School of Fool stories. Pip, honey, I love you, but I don't want to be in the same room with you. I'd rather hear you three rooms away, and I do like the audio. It's very low. I can barely make you out. Best show ever. All right.
Were you listening to us?
I was. All right. School of Fools. Miami-Dade School Board in Florida rejected a proposed LGBTQ, slackers, I know there's numbers and symbols there, what are you doing, month for students after a contentious three-hour meeting Wednesday night. The measure would have recognized October as an official period of LGBTQ recognition in the district schools and taught older students, I believe it was seniors actually, about two Supreme Court cases related to gay rights. Backers of the proposal argued that the initiative would ease stigmas plaguing the community, with some public speakers likening opposition to Nazi marginalization of specific groups. You know, I tell you what, you really can't have an argument without Nazis. That's the great thing about it. You know, if I was Hitler, I'd be very proud. I made something that lasts forever. Good for you, Hitler. All right.
It's all purpose, apparently.
Yeah. Opponents asserted that the plan was tantamount to indoctrination. You know that's the only SAT words these motherfuckers know. They love some good indoctrination, don't they? And would introduce sexualized subject matter to Miami-Dade schools without adequate parental awareness. And if I could tell you something about Miami, there is nothing sexualized about that city at all. Very buttoned up. Nobody has their tush hanging out in Miami, I assure you.
Nobody.
Nobody.
No bathing suits, no bikinis.
Nope.
No little banana holders.
You know what they call Miami? Amish country of the South. That's what they call Miami.
Yes.
All right. The board eventually voted down the proposal by a margin of 8-1 with the plan sponsor board member Lucia Baez Geller, the sole backer. A group of proud boys, aren't they now, gathered outside the meeting and at one point argued about the proposal with a person holding a trans flag. Of course you did. Of course you argued, according to the Miami Herald. Supporters of the plan told the board that its passage would promote a more tolerant atmosphere for LGBTQ students struggling with their identity. LGBTQ people suffered a higher rate of suicidal ideation and other risky behaviors because of the hateful attacks and efforts that you've been hearing in this room, after many speakers said, Speaker Michael Rosner. Another commenter argued that the LGBTQ month was deserving of enshrinement alongside periods of recognition for other marginalized groups. Fear of groups of people oftentimes leads to hate, discrimination, and prejudice, she said. It is absolutely imperative we learn about each other. I don't know about all you fuckers. I don't like any of you. All aspects of history. That is why we have different history months. Black History Month, Hispanic Heritage Month, Women's History Month. Another backer said that he felt completely alone. I think I'm alone now. As a gay youth, a sense of isolation that the LGBTQ month would combat. I don't know if that would combat it, but okay. Opponents contended that schools are not appropriate settings for the material, that parents should be responsible for introducing the topic rather than teachers and administrators. How can we expect teachers to teach our children? That's ridiculous. He said,
"Scratch." I can choose what subjects the teachers will teach them and what I will avoid talking about at home.
Yes. School is not here to indoctrinate them with the LGBTQ 1A or IA. There it is, kids. That's what I was looking for. Agenda ideology. I didn't even know they had an agenda. I thought it was here, we're queer, we're proud of it, get used to it. I didn't know there was a whole, you know, I thought if it wasn't in a slogan, there was no agenda. Apparently,
we should just leave it at that. It's a fine marching song, Joe.
Joe, I will tell you this. I would have had I think the Nazis would have been a lot less threatening, a little bit more festive, if when they were marching into town, they would have said that. We're here, we're queer, we're proud of it, get used to it.
Oh, that would have changed Churchill's mind, yeah, sure. I don't, the way the song sounds, I don't think the lot would be that. Maybe we could work with these blokes.
As a matter of fact... As a matter of fact...
That was Cockney Winston Churchill. He was
his
younger...
You're in,
This is not to be, and we should not expose our kids in school to this curriculum. Our educational system was not designed to teach children about sexuality, as a sex ed teacher slunk away. Another speaker echoed that theme. Let us, the parents, to be parents, she said, and teach our children according to our moral values and religious beliefs, because nothing's going to go wrong then. The speaker argued that kids are being submerged and drowned in a confusion of identity. Are they, though? Some speakers noted the passage of Governor Ron DeSantis' Parental Rights in Education Bill that banned discussion of sexual orientation and gender identity for kids in kindergarten through third grade. DeSantis argued that the material was inappropriate for younger children. Opponents who dubbed it the Don't Say Gay Bill countered that it fostered hostility towards the community. All right. For me, I would approve what is described, because what is described in this article, I would approve that, because it doesn't, to me, it doesn't sound like indoctrination. To me, they're teaching the 12th graders about important Supreme Court cases. To me, this actually sounds like what you would want a school to teach about. I think what's very interesting is that for some people, whenever you throw gay or homosexual or lesbian or trans, it's automatically sexualized. But I think that's in your own head. I think you could talk about something and go, oh, I really want to bang somebody in the ass now. I really want to scissor that girl. No, I think you can have a conversation without it being sexualized. Because I got to tell you, when I remember in the second grade when they taught us about the pilgrims coming over on the Mayflower to build a new country and get a better life and escape religious persecution, all I could think about was those straight pilgrims fucking on the Mayflower. That's all I could think about.
You think you had to be?
Joe, I couldn't take my mind off of it. I was just like, I wonder what's underneath that bonnet. Stop it, teacher. Forget about Plymouth Rock. Tell me about Plymouth Cock. What is going on that ship?
Now, this isn't in the history books, but you take Miles Standish. Now, you know, I mean, he grabbed a woman by the bonnet and brought her in the back of the ship and said, "Oh, Miles, well, you know why they call me Miles? It's about the length of my cock." And then, you know... So, there are things that are, in the backstory of the history book.
All I can think about when they talked about Sacagawea, because was she the one from now was that she was the one, right?
Lewis and Clark.
No.
Oh, all right. Which was the one? Which was the name?
Pocahontas.
Yeah. When I heard Pocahontas, I'm like, that's clearly Pocahiney. This is they're clearly talking about sex here. That's what the lesson is.
But you got to think about Sacagawea, okay? Lewis and Clark, they're going on this expedition. They're going out to the and they're out there for months. You don't think that they put Sacagawea on the rotisserie? I mean,
Joe, you raise a good point. I don't think we could talk about the explorers anymore and heading west. It's just too sexualized.
Explorers,
What were they exploring? Before you go west, you have to go south.
Listen, I can't sit here about Black History Month and picture Harriet Tubman without thinking, what a piece of ass. It's about all History Month.
You know what I think? When I hear about slavery, I'm like, I wonder how Idris Elba would look being whipped. That's what I think about. I mean,
it's the mind just runs riot with all these special history months.
The ridiculousness of the argument that if you talk about something, it automatically is sexualized shows the stupidity of the people making the argument. Because, yes, we're all horny, but those of us that are working on another level can fucking focus. All right. Anyway. I don't know what... To me, this doesn't sound like indoctrination. This sounds like awareness, which is, I don't think it's a woke thing. I don't think it's a liberal thing. I think it's a United States is a melting pot thing, and we're a welcoming country to all sorts of people here. And this is one more type of person that even though you're not that way, perhaps, you might encounter this type of people. And they are real people, and these court cases are their struggles.
The thing about it is that we've encountered it, and we've accepted it, okay? Basically, you hear about it in the paper. Also, you talk to kids, when they're in the van and they're trying to figure out how to get out.
Hold on. You don't get to rush right past that.
And to complain I only have Milky Way bars, the fucking candy's expensive now, The lure.
Hold on, Joe. Let me stop you right here. Let me yell at Pip. You're telling this story, and I see Pip is sexualizing this van and that Milky Way, and I don't like it at all.
I am, actually. Milky Way. No, if he said Snickers, I would have been all over it.
Well, if he said Three Musketeers, we'd be back to Sacagawea and Lewis and Clark again.
Funny. But the thing about it is, I have talked to kids that mentioned that a lot of times in school we are pushing this agenda. Now, the thing about it is that, we need to know that these people are here. We have, and we've accepted it. But I feel that they keep pushing and pushing a bridge too far.
Right, but there's no... I understand what you're saying, but there's no indication here that this month was that. This actually sounded like an educational month. We're going to teach the older students, which, again, I believe I read in a different article with seniors, about historic Supreme Court cases involving gay people. That just makes sense to me. We learn about all sorts of Supreme Court cases. Why not add those in? It makes sense. It doesn't say like we're all going to do arts and crafts and we're all going to wear glitter, stereotypical gay stuff. It doesn't say all the girls this month have to wear flannels and play softball. It doesn't say that.
Boys, you're just going to have to get used to assless chaps. That is the requirement.
That's the uniform.
They chafe.
They chafe. He just slides that in there.
He would know.
But if you're going to present a curriculum where they're learning against people, that group of people and what they were against, then if it was going to be in the curriculum, it was going to be taught. But if they're going to push an agenda, then I have a problem with it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But like I said, yes. This particular one, what was presented in this article does not sound like an agenda. It sounds like education, which, contrary to what
it's a matter of, and like I said, to generalize our conversation right now between you and I just believe it's a matter of opinion, because it sounds like it to me.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Let's be honest. Well, you guys aren't parents, but I am, and you guys had parents. Really? Most parents do not really want to talk to their kids about sex. We will, because it's our job, but now, especially, it does not sound like these type of parents who are this apoplectic about it are going to talk about gay people. It sounds like they want to pretend that gay people don't exist. So it seems like kind of foolhardy to believe, no, we'll handle this, we're the parents. You're not going to handle. So then these kids are going to become adults who are never going to know about this stuff, and it's going to handicap them. Because I got news for you. There's not as many gay people in the closet. So the first time you encounter a gay person probably shouldn't be at your first job or your first fraternity or sorority. You might want to have a heads up before that. Now, I do agree the kids are more aware now than we were as kids, although I was pretty aware what was going on. But these parents are like, no, we're going to educate our kids. No, you're not. Most of you can't even show up to parent-teacher's nights. Let's be honest. Most parents are either too busy or they don't want to be involved. It's hard raising a kid, let alone having this conversation.
Let's face it, because since they stopped having regular, complete sex education in schools, the pregnancy rate went up, because the parents are not taking the lead on this. The first time they're talking to them is like, are you gaining weight, Cynthia? That's when they're having the conversation.
You know, Pip, hold on, let me stop there. I think you've just made a case for indoctrination towards homosexuality. That will cut down on the pregnancy rate. Good job, Pip.
Well, you know, there's always a plan.
Yeah, very well done. I didn't see that coming. Very well done, Pip.
there's always indoctrination in American schools. Let's be real.
Listen.
American schools is to indoctrinate the children into the ways people want. They've been pushing the straight agenda for hundreds of years.
I pledge allegiance to the flag. They're indoctrinating you right there. Now, listen. Is it nice if we're all loyal to the United States? Sure, but don't tell me you're not indoctrinating the youngins when you make them stand up with their hand over their heart and say, "I pledge allegiance," like a good little servant. That's what you do. I mean, come on. But I don't think
trying to sit there and turn kids.
But still, I mean, we're at the point right now. Everybody's got a pronoun. We need to be aware. We're aware of it. We get it,
Joe. I think where we live and in the industry you and I are in, we are hyper aware of it. I don't know if that's the case for a lot of other people and a lot of other industries. You know, we're used to it. We've been dealing with it for years. You know, it's just another comic to us. It doesn't matter to us because we live in New York. Even though you're conservative, you're a Northeast conservative, which is different than a conservative in other parts of the country, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, like I said, we'll bring it to the club. If you're working in the club and there's a comic there that was transgender, and there's a couple of them around, they're not bothering me. They're not hassling me. They might talk about it, but they're not. You know, they've got jokes and stuff. It's not being crammed down my throat.
Well, Joe, I could see.
So to speak.
I could see. Funny. I could see some of these parents perhaps going to see a trans comic or a gay comic. Now, a lot of the gay comics, at least back in the day, I haven't seen a ton of them lately, but back in the day, that's all they would talk about was being gay. Just like a fat comic talks about all they could talk about is being fat, black comic being black, Jews, whatever. You talk about what you know. I could see one of these people coming up and complaining, you're indoctrinating me. I don't appreciate that. No, I'm doing my act, stupid.
Well, it also depends on the comic. I was working at Bananas one time, and there were two people there that were switching headlining and middling, and both were like gay. The guy was every other line gay. And I'm like, all right, we get it. Now you get a guy, another comic who's a pro comic, Jim David, who was gay. Hysterical. An hour mentions he's gay twice, maybe three times. The rest is hysterical. So you don't, you know, you don't have to push the issue. Now, maybe the way comedy is now, where it's personality driven, you know, where, you know, well, I'm the gay this, I'm the gay that. Maybe that the managers want you to go up and consistently talk about it. But we get it. You're also a person. You know, talk about other stuff that affects you.
Now, Veen on our Facebook page, on the Davins and Facebook page, was opposed to this. She happens to live in Florida. She thought we should do away with all the awareness months and make them unity months. So I'm thinking, does she have a point? She might have a point, but don't we have to be aware before we are unified? Like, if you're real, like, don't you have to acknowledge everybody else's differences, whatever they may be, race, religion, sexuality, whatever it is? Don't you have to acknowledge that, hey, we're all different, but we all believe in the red, white, and blue, for instance?
Until the school books are written so that they are inclusive of the, you know, the world and the whole situation, they're all very European ancestry, white male dominated, you know, and then we have to have a special month for black people because otherwise we don't learn about them. You know, we learn, you know, about three or four historical people, Harriet Tubman, you know, a couple
Frederick Douglass.
That's it.
Frederick Douglass, Eli Whitney, Bill Clinton. He was the first black president, you know.
Bill Clinton. Yes, I knew that. Yes. Yeah, and but that's what I'm saying is that there are a few people. I was trying to think of Carter, the one who came up with the growing peanuts. But anyway, not Jimmy Carter. But I'm blanking because of the migraine. I'm like have less words than usual. But the thing is that you know, it's like, yeah, until that bit of history is just incorporated in the history that's taught, yeah, we can't just have like a everything month because it would go right back to the streamlined Eurocentric white male history.
That's interesting.
Was Bessie Ross the only woman in colonial times? That's what we learned.
Well, no, Pip. She was the only working woman in colonial times.
And there was Martha Washington, and the rest of the bitches were in cooking.
You know, and that's why we harken back to the good old days. Good point.
Now, I wonder, with George Washington's wooden teeth, I wonder if Martha had to go to the gynecologist to have splinters removed.
I was waiting for that, Joe.
Every other week.
I was waiting for that. Thank you, Joe. She was getting wood one way or the other. Huddle a huddle a who. Anyway. So Joe seems to...
That's the kind of prick I was interested in, George.
So Joe seems to be opposed to this. Pip and I seem to be for. But I will say this. If you find that the Proud Boys are on the side of you, I think a rational person might have to reconsider. Like you might like go, wow, I really don't like this. I really don't like them teaching about this in our schools. But the Proud Boys agree with me. Let me before I give you my final answer, let me take one more look because I don't want to be with those guys because they're a bunch of assholes. But
let me have a pause.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, I listen.
Let me take a knee. Oh no.
See, I agree with Joe. I don't want indoctrination, but what was described here sound like education, and I don't think education means indoctrination. I think there's a difference. You know. I think you, and I agree with Pip too. You know, until we're teaching about everybody, you have to have these months because if we were teaching about everybody, which is really hard to do, it's really hard to do in a curriculum because there's only so much time. But if you were teaching about everybody, you wouldn't have to have these special months because everybody was included. But
I just feel that where we are right now with this is like. Well, I identify as this. Well, my pronoun is this. We're tolerating it. And I feel that this is taking it a bridge too far. You tolerate it, we're real, but you're pushing too hard.
Yeah, but you're not looking at the kid. You're not looking at the kids that do feel marginalized and don't feel like they can come out as their true selves. There is a stigma.
And you're not listening to the kids that I've talked to that feel like they're being brainwashed with all of this in school. So it's a two-way street with this.
Yeah, I don't know what I would need an example of what that looked like, what that brainwashing looked like. I would need an example of like, you know, if you haven't sucked a dick as a young teenage boy, what's wrong with you? All right, that's indoctrination right there. I'll give you that. That's indoctrination. Go. You know what? Why can't you dress with more flair? Look at your gay friend over here. That's indoctrination. I'll give you that right there. Going too far. If we're just teaching about people and that these other people exist, that's education.
The thing about it is, why are you dressing sharp? Why don't you look at your gay friend over there? I would be like, well, it is a tailored shirt. I go,
See, Joe, you're secretly gay. You see that? You've been indoctrinated. There you go.
Not indoctrinated, just a little education on fashion.
Well, I understand that in any group there are people who are militant and aggressive about things, but I mean, really, if somebody wants to be called by a particular pronoun and they let you know, what's the harm?
Well, we've talked about this. Yeah, no, I mean, who cares? Fine. You want me to call you?
I want to be they from now on. What does it hurt you? And if I just gently remind you if you screw up and say she, what's the harm?
Cost me nothing.
The only thing about it is, if you identify as it, okay, you're this, and I accept it. I'll deal with it. It's your opinion. It's a free country. But if you're coming into school, and like I said, this is my contention on the story. And if I was correct in my assumption of the story, if you're coming in with if we are accepting with it, and now you're still pushing and coming in with an agenda about it, I have a problem with it.
Yeah, but the people who kept on saying agenda and indoctrination, at least in this story, and it was from the New York Post, so I would think if it would be anywhere, I'd be here. They didn't give any examples of what that might look like. They just threw out those, to use words we used earlier, trigger words. They just used those, you know, red herring words. Oh, there's an agenda, there's indoctrination. Okay, what part of this curriculum is an agenda? What part of this?
Well, I would agree to that, because there are plenty of stories that we do that kind of a gloss over job. You know, we've had plenty, and this is, I'm not going to shy away, this is one of them, you know, so that's why my take is why you have your opinion and I have mine, because there aren't facts in there saying, well, this, where we can go, all right, oh, no, it's, you know, they're giving us a gloss over job, and what we're just taking what we feel on the story, so... You know, until we hear more, yeah. You know, that's why I believe you and I have a differing opinion on this.
All right.
Yeah.
New York is going to full electric cars in 2035. Here's that story.
Empire State is going electric. Governor Hochul announced new sales of gas-powered cars will be banned across New York State in 2035, making New York the second state to make that move following California. Eyewitness News reporter Marcus Solis has the story.
Extremely happy. It's exceeded all my expectations.
Lou Cohen is satisfied with the switch. He recently traded in his Audi for an electric Ford Mustang. Yet he's pumping the brakes over the state's plan requiring that every new car sold in 2035 be an electric vehicle.
Large portions of the populace can't necessarily afford them. There are people living in circumstances in terms of apartment buildings and the like where they can't charge them easily. It's hard to force it on people.
Governor Kathy Hochul made the announcement driving up in a Chevy Bolt. New York joins California in issuing car makers the following timetable. By 2026, 35% of new car sales must consist of zero-emission vehicles, 68% by 2030, and by 2035, every new car sold will be an EV. Critics point out EVs are pricey and there aren't enough places to charge them. Hochul says the state is extending its $2,000 rebate program and spending $250 million building fast charging stations.
No longer does it have to be overnight and longer periods of time, so we're focused on getting these fast chargers out there, and we've already accomplished over 100 when we're just getting started.
Even school buses are part of the plan. Starting in 2027, all new vehicles purchased will be electric. The entire fleet must be converted by 2035. Industry experts say even if the state's plan is ambitious, it shows the momentum of EVs is unstoppable.
Ultimately, doesn't matter, because it's the signal that we're finally beginning to take climate change seriously, and it's just going to take that all hands on deck approach.
Because when it comes to going electric, the race is on. In White Plains, Marcus Solis, Channel 7. Eyewitness News.
Before we continue, something else that's electrifying. Aaron Judge is your new American League home run champion, number 62.
Yes!
Yes.
He got 62, right? 62!
Yeah, we missed it. God damn it, I forgot to have it on. Last week I had it on for Pip and I while we were doing the show. All right, anyway. All right, for a little bit more about that story. So congratulations, Aaron Judge. Anyway, a little bit more about that story. Think about how simple this is. Simply pull into a gas station or what used to be a gas station or a convenience store while you're in there for 20 minutes with a fast charging station. Your vehicle can be charged, Hochul said. New York is a national climate leader and an economic powerhouse. We're using our strength to help spur innovation, implementation of zero-emission vehicles on a grand scale. With sustained state and federal investments, our actions are incentivizing New Yorkers, local governments, and businesses to make the transition to electric vehicles. We're driving New York's transition to clean transportation forward, and today's announcement will benefit our climate and the health of our communities for generations to come. This was Joe's blog. Did some research for the blog. I was very impressed. Mr. Curry brought some extra to
I, you know what, after I wrote it he's gonna go, actually he actually wrote a fucking blog this week.
I enjoyed it, I was pleased
but the whole thing about this is the idea is you know a grand idea of, you know, making things zero emission, but here's the deal. The infrastructure at this juncture is not there to handle this. Now, basically, the article states that 35% the target is 35% of the vehicles have to be zero emission by 2026. That's like 4 years away. Now, the problem is that the electricity that is going to be generated for that is going to be with the current sources that we will increase dependency on them. Now, here's the deal. Electricity in New York is generated is 20% hydropower, 50% natural gas, 21% nuclear, 5.3% solar, 3.2% wind. On Long Island, it's all generated by oil. Now, in addition, the governor wants eventually to end natural gas, which is 50% of electrical production in the state. And as a Green New Deal activist, nuclear will be eventually eliminated at 21.8%. This eventually is going to be 71.8% of the sources that generate electrical power in New York, which is going to be eliminated. Are we going to rely on – then we have to rely on solar and wind, but it's solar and wind has not been perfected, and it's not that reliable. That's a total. Solar and wind is 8.5%, which will be a shortfall – of 63.3% of the total energy relied on in New York State. Now, you might say, well, we've got 13 more years before the full mandate comes to fruition. But with the intermittency of solar and wind, the prospect of it being sustainable of a source of energy in 13 years is highly unlikely. Now, moving forward on this... you go, well, you know, doing good, money's no object. Well, unless it's your money. Now, with that in mind, basically let's talk about a car charger, okay? A car charger is going to – a level one home charger will range from $1,200 to $2,000 and runs 110 volts. That will charge your car every 4 to 5 miles. You'll get that charge every hour will give the car 4 to 5 miles of range an hour. A level two charger, which runs on 220 volts, pretty much what your dryer runs on, can range up to $5,000 installed and will charge a car 20 to 30 minutes every hour. So with that, so let's say you're going with the least possible cost on that. You have a car that the average lowest price electrical car is $28,000. And then you have a 110-volt home charging system, which is $1,500. You're at $29,000, not including tax and registration. Well, they're going to give you a rebate. The rebate's only $2,000. So you're still in the hole for a car that you're almost forced to buy just to get this set up. With the price of everything in New York, it's just making it higher on that.
Well, I could argue there if I wanted to. Yes, the outlay up front is more expensive, but you're going to save a lot more money on putting fuel into that car. If it's cheaper.
Don't you think once people get on it, they're going to raise the rates more to compensate for it?
Listen, man, I'm just telling you what the argument is. I'm saying I can make that argument.
Yeah, but, you know, so, and people also don't understand. Now, let's look at the environment. The batteries in these cars are made of lithium, which has to be mined. The mining eventually destroys the soil structure, which depletes water resources, leaving the land dry and exposes the ecosystems to risk of extinction of the water. Now, this is a concern because not only with clean energy, the biggest concern moving forward is water and the supply of water. The way things are going, we might be having wars over water. So if you're getting if you're mining, this is destroying water sources, which could be a problem. Now, my take is this, and I close it with this. If you think I'm sitting here going, well, you know, nothing beats the horse, no. If you're asking me, well, do you think that this will be an energy source, you know, in the future? Absolutely, I do. But let the market dictate the switch and not the politicians. And that's the way I feel on the topic.
So the question is, can the technology catch up? I'm taking it that she's trying to do this to spur on the technology. That's what I'm thinking. You know, yeah, I mean, you raise some good points. Also, I don't know, especially New Yorkers, I don't know if anybody wants to wait 20 minutes while they're on the go to charge their car. They got to get that down a lot more. They got
to
get...
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Now, with that being said, on the pro side of this, Adam Ferrara, who used to be on Top Gear, he still deals with, you know, he does car shows and stuff like that. Now, I mentioned that to Adam. What Adam told me is that they're working on something where it's like a gas station. There are pre-charged battery packs. You pull in, take the old pack out, put it in the charge, pay whatever the fee is, and put it in the car. That could be an option. So there are things on the table that they have. At this juncture, you know, the way they're moving, it should be something where it's a no-brainer to move.
Well, Joe, if it's that easy... If it does happen, then 300 miles before you have to recharge is doable. Because right now, it's not. And that's another thing. Like, say New York decides to do this. All right, but we're going to Ohio. We got to drive out to Ohio. And Ohio does not want to do this. Now we have problems. I mean, you really, it can't be a red and blue thing. It has to be the whole country. Now, what I do like the idea of all the school buses going this way. I think all the state and federal and local transportation should all be as fuel efficient, and if that's electric, as possible. Because they don't have to do the same type of driving that a citizen has to do.
Right. Now, two-sided coin on that. I think it's a good idea. Well, what about the mileage? A school bus does 70 miles a day. There's plenty there. If what we have... what we have can sustain it. Because like I said, we talk about this at the day program all the time. It's our biz, where they want to try to eliminate natural gas and nuclear power, which is a big source of energy in this state. If the grid can handle it or they're making concessions on that, that's fine. Like I said, a bus or a truck, they go 70 miles a day and that's it. It will be, you know, it's fine. But if it's going to cause, if the grid can't sustain it yet, then you have to have a work about where you can have it, where it can sustain it. That remains to be seen. That remains that the technology will keep.
I think this is just like a goal, because like, what are they going to do? Who are they going to fine if 35% of the cars aren't electric in 2026? If people don't want to buy them, who are they going to, are they going after us? Are they going to go after the car dealership? Is New York going after car manufacturers? Like, really, how can you enforce something like that?
Well, I get a funny feeling. I do feel that the government is forcing car manufacturers into this. I'll tell you why. I go to the auto show every year. It's nice to go because of COVID. It was a two-year hiatus. But I went. Majority, 70% of the vehicles there were electric, okay? And they're expensive. So, and the thing about it is that it seems like they're pushing it. Cars that seem out of the realm of what people, regular people can, the middle class can afford, and just an agenda on a grid system that can't handle this. Matter of fact, California's having a problem where they're having blackouts. So if they did perfect it, then, you know, mazel tov. And look at everything with electric car. It has a bigger pickup. It doesn't cause pollution. You don't have to do oil changes. You don't have to, you know, worry about the engine. You know, there are a lot of good things about.
Well, here's another good thing. Here's another good thing, which doesn't always get talked about. Maybe we get into less wars if we're not as reliant on oil, and that's going to save us all a lot of treasure and lives.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, we don't need a lot, but we do need lithium, and lithium comes from some countries that are not thrilled with us. So it's almost going from one thing to another. So it doesn't. It's maybe it'll lessen that situation, but I don't think. I think who has the lithium has the power, and if it gets into the hands. I mean, from the research I did, there are the countries that have a lot of lithium. I believe Australia, and I forgot what other country, but they're on a good side. But if things get to where evil wants to get the sources, the Russia, China, so on and so forth, it could be almost the same problem as getting oil. So that remains to be seen, but you know, that's another give and take. I mean, we have to get where we're going, and I just think the Green New Deal initiative is pushing things beyond the boundary of sustainability.
Well, you know what, we're gonna find out, because you know what, we didn't think we could get to the moon, and we did. So you never know. I think for it to happen right now is not good. I don't think they should. I think if the market, I agree with you in a way that the market is going to dictate it, but you have to incentivize the market to do things too. I mean, some people, 300 miles, 20 minutes, today's technology, it's not feasible. What they're doing today, it's not going to work. 10 years could be completely different. Who knew we'd all be so reliant on these little things? I'm holding up the phone 10 years ago. We never.
Yeah. And it wasn't mandated by a law. I mean,
no, it wasn't.
Now with that in mind, and like I said, I'm not. Well, this will never happen. No, it will. And let's look at the progression of it. Okay, when the electric cars first came out, well, they'll get about 80 miles on a truck. Who the hell's going to buy that? And I always said the things have to get 300 miles. 300. They did it. Now my thing is, well, what you said, I can't sit around for 20 minutes. I got to get the hell out of here. If what Adam was saying, where they had that pack, all right, that will work. The second is to make it across the country where they have everything set up where you can travel freely across the country, and that will work as well. So, like I said, the benchmarks are being met. You know, we met the one benchmark. We're going, so the benchmarks can be met, but just trying to push a law on it or give the companies incentives to get there, but don't mandate that everybody has to get an electric car.
Well, the federal government does. The federal government does incentivize them. So
yeah, so leave it at that and let them incentivize that. And when all those benchmarks are made and the car companies go, ta-da, then everybody will start getting them, because basically an electric car is a lot easier to maintain than an internal combustion engine. It's a simple fact, just working out those bugs. And like I said, again, we will get there. We don't know when, but we have to take it step by step by step and start, you know, overextending ourselves, especially with the grid.
All right, let's move on.
I just wanted to tell you the six countries that have the most lithium: Bolivia, Argentina, Chile, okay, the United States, Australia, and China.
All right,
is in order of how much they have.
All
right, right. So basically, those countries out of the five you mentioned, the one you know can be a problem, China. So with that, as that progresses, will it cause a war because somebody wants to get the lithium? I don't know. The prospect is there. So you know, getting away from oil and all the shenanigans we've had to deal with the Middle East, it will be obviously lessened or probably obsoleted. However, we have new problems. Yeah, we may have.
Yeah, I really don't. I don't really worry about the Bolivians and radical Islam, so that's a win.
Yeah,
right. So like I said, I think, you know, like, maybe not, you know. I mean, China could be a problem, but, you know, so far so good. So we could check that box.
All right, let's move on. A California woman allegedly ran over a man on purpose in a bid to save a cat she thought he was trying to kill. Perhaps he wasn't trying to kill the cat. Perhaps a curiosity was killing the cat. And you know, and to be fair, perhaps this woman should have realized there's a good chance this cat has 8 more lives. But whatever.
Curiosity was the name of the guy.
That was Mr. Curiosity. Yeah. Hannah Starr Esser, sounds like a porn star to me, 20, faces murder charges after Louis Anthony Victor, sounds like a serial killer to me, 40.
Three names.
Died as a result of his injuries following the September 25th incident. According to authorities, Esser got out of her vehicle, yelled a profanity at Victor. No, she was just addressing the cat. At Victor, and accused him of trying to run over the cat in Cypress, California. Victor tried to, well, maybe the cat was stealing energy and there was a brownout. Would you stop holding up your cat? Enough.
And not the cat you're thinking about, people yeah. who can't see.
We all know what a cat looks like, stupid. Victor tried to speak to Esser, but she got back into her vehicle, made a three-point turn, and drove towards Victor. That'd be a good time to stop talking. Might be time to start running.
Yes.
Prosecutors at the Orange County District Attorney's Office claim Esser then intentionally accelerated directly into Victor so hard he was launched into the air. Victor landed on the hood of the car in the windshield, his body flipping several more times before he landed on the pavement, according to authorities. He was pronounced dead at the scene. No, I thought he should still be pronounced Victor. Anyway,
it always like when they say they were pronounced. All right, right? Yeah.
Well done, well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got somebody with a... he is D-I. No, you're saying it wrong. we can't pronounce him dead. He doesn't know how to say the fucking word.
I can't pronounce him dead. Dan! No!
Yeah, no, damn it! Dead! Yeah, he is dead. No, damn it! I'm sorry, he's still alive. He can't pronounce him dead.
Dead!
Kimberly Eds, a spokesperson for the Orange County District Attorney's Office, said Esser may have inadvertently framed herself by recording her confrontation with Victor on her cell phone. The circumstances leading up to the confrontation are still under investigation, Eds told the Post. If convicted, Esser faces a maximum sentence of 25 years life to prison. This action showed a complete disregard for human life, Orange County District Attorney Todd Spitzer said. The Orange County District Attorney's Office will ensure that this random act of violence targeting a stranger will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Esser is scheduled to appear in court for her arraignment on October 13th. She remains in Orange County Jail in lieu of $1 million bail. It is unclear what happened to the cat at the center of the altercation. Oh, Pip. Is this worthy of a murder charge?
Absolutely not.
Really?
He did the right thing. Free Hannah.
Wow.
Free Hannah.
Wow, really?
He did the right thing. When I saw that article in prep, I'm like, shit, why is it my turn to write the blog? even though the show would be 9 hours and the thing and her blog would look like the King James Bible.
And what's wrong with this? What's wrong with any of that?
So you really don't think she should be charged with murder?
No, yeah. No, she was saving the kitty. That is all important. She is a hero. This is all I have to say.
Where's the cat to testify? The cat's not speaking up.
Yeah.
She's a hero! She is a goddamn hero! She has to be freed! Free Anna!
So, Pip, would you kill a person who was trying to kill a cat?
This could be used at my trial. No, of course not.
Oh, God, I could just see in the courtroom, I'm innocent. Oh, Jay Mizielik, let's play the Davinson episode.
Joe, there's nothing to worry about, because according to Mr. Helix, Pip is low in the mix. She can't be hurt anyway.
There you go. This is strategy. No, you know what?
You're wasting your ass out of that one. All right.
I don't know what I might do, but they might end up dead. They might be hurt.
Running over might be a little much.
Yeah, no. She just bumped into him. Now he decided to gymnastically fly around and show off. That's on him.
And the guy, she assumed that he was hurting the cat. You know, I mean, she assumed it.
She was right. She was right. He was hurting the kitty! She was right. She did exactly the right thing. If anybody comes after a cat, if I'm in my car, you're in trouble. I have good aim. Right. I mean, potentially. Allegedly.
Okay. All right.
And the thing about it is the guy tried to speak to the woman, but she got back into her vehicle. And who knows, speak, lady, I was trying to help the cat or fuck you or, you know, who knows what he said. But she got right back in the vehicle and made a three-point turn and drove forward to the guy, you know?
That's why it's very, well, no, that's why you choose your words very carefully when confronted when maybe harming a cat. Choose those words very diligently. They might be your last ones.
So you would intervene if you saw a person harming a cat with your vehicle? It's on the table.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Dead man.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hope she gets some leniency. I hope she doesn't get the 25 to life. But I kind of feel like you have to get something when you run a human being over.
Yes.
Fine.
Hopefully, Morris the cat's the judge. Well, I think he'll be released on bail. Thank you, Morris. Oh, it's time for dinner. Oh, little tribbles and treats, so good.
All right.
Case dismissed. Thank you, Judge Moore.
All right, this one hits home. Dining alone can be a daunting prospect, but one woman's solo date was ruined after she was told she needs a friend to dine in. TikTok user Sunshine Chavez, I wonder if that's on her birth certificate, posted a video showing a staff member at a Korean barbecue joint in California telling her there is a two-person minimum for eating in the restaurant, pointing to the policy written on the sign-in sheet. When the restaurant doesn't let you dine in because you're a party of one, Chavez captioned the 15-second clip, and you're told next time bring a friend. Maybe I'm just hungry and emotional, but I definitely cried in my car, and then I drove over a man.
Another lunatic.
Chavez admitted in the comments she had built up the courage, oh, she's a brave one, to go inside by herself, saying she waited in the car for 15 minutes before going in, hashtag hero. I really debated about paying for an extra person. I was craving it all day, like cuck, she added. yeah, this is actually a thing at most Korean barbecue spots, unfortunately, a user said. It sucks, though. When the restaurant doesn't let you dine in because you're a party one and you're told next time bring a friend, two sad emojis. Maybe I'm just hungry and emotional, but I definitely cried in my car. According to their website, the restaurant Buon Shabu and Barbecue. Buon Shabu and Barbecue. And Shabu too.
Buon Shabu and Barbecue. The place for you and somebody else.
The place for a party of two. That's what it is.
Go to Buon Shabu.
Offers all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue and shabu unless you're a single loser, which many pointed out could be why they have the strict two-person minimum. Yes, Pip, I'm talking about you. It's a Korean barbecue. They prepare and give you a lot of sides, meat, sauces, etc. It doesn't make sense for them to all do all this for one person, pointed out another, and especially you. Especially you. You're not worried. Yeah, you.
I can eat for two.
Yes, you can. That a girl. Other users couldn't believe there was a policy in place that entailed not allowing people to eat alone. As someone who loves eating out alone, well, you know, it just gets sloppy if two of you were eating out. This is a new fear unlocked, LOL, one user wrote. What if you're party of one but appetite of two, question another. Now, Trucker Tom wrote, I think it was either on my page or the Davin's End page, that this should not be allowed because it's discrimination. But being single is not a protected class, so that it doesn't really work. You know, there is I before comedy, I really never dined alone. If it wasn't for comedy, I probably never would dine alone. Still, that being said, there is like I do feel a little less than when I dine alone. I bring my book pretending I'm going to sit there and read, but really I'm just going to stuff my face. You know, there is a stigma to the solo dine.
Oh, there totally is. And people do look at people funny like, loser. And it's also like, what do you do with yourself? Normally when you eat, you talk to your companion, but when you're sitting there alone, it is a little... You know, it's hard for people. There are a lot of people that won't do that just because they're afraid. And so I think that anybody that, you know, brings up the courage, especially single women diners. You know, it's difficult. You know, it's tough to go into places by yourself as a woman anyway. I mean, people are doing it more and more, but, you know, there is a stigma to it. The fact that she was, like, shushed away. Well, Deb says in the chat, eat in and get a to-go plate. Yeah, why not?
That's what I'm thinking as well. We can get a...
Yeah, but but buffets won't let you get a to-go plate. Some buffets won't let you do.
Some do. They charge you a goddamn fortune.
But it doesn't sound like this was one of those places that would.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that they are. I mean, it's their place. They are allowed to decide who they're going to serve and who they're not. I mean, let's not be two-faced about it. We were saying that all of these places had the right to throw out people who were unmasked. I guess they also have the right not to serve a single person. But it's a real shame because, geez, I probably wouldn't have eaten for several decades if I wasn't allowed to eat alone in places. I ate alone all the time.
You know who ruined this? You know who ruined this? Every goddamn 20-something who comes into a Starbucks with their laptop like they're writing a script. That's why single people can't eat by themselves anymore. You stay there all day and you nurse one goddamn thing and you take up a table for 4.5 hours and you use our electricity in a bathroom. Now nobody can go in alone. I hope they're happy with themselves.
Yeah, you shouldn't be allowed to camp forever. You do ruin it for other people.
You know what they should do? You know what they should do? What every restaurant should do, whether you're alone or not alone, there's a clock on the table, and it starts counting down once your order comes in. Like, once you take your order, and if you're not finished by, like, say, 45 minutes, and the service is being, they kick your ass out. Let's go. It's time to move.
Well, you know, they give you a little egg timer.
Yeah. Yeah.
What they might do is what the factor, and I'm just taking a guess at this, but a factor of what per table or per person would eat, and maybe they figure if one person they're not making the margin on just one person. If there's two people there, because you do have the buffet, but like soda's extra, this is extra, so they might have what their break even point per table is. And they may have figured, you know, it has to be at least two people per table, you know, at least two people per table to make a break-even point on the volume of food we're going to serve. So I think it's based on that. It's not based on discrimination. It's not based on hatred. It's based on their business model at what's the break-even point per table.
And you know what? In their defense, they do have it in the sign-in sheet. So it's not like it was a surprise. I mean,
it wasn't a surprise. It wasn't, you know, so it's, you know, find a friend.
Well, it's not that easy. You should know.
Find a homeless person. You want to get a free meal? Bring a homeless person. He'll probably stick his fingers in a fucking tray, but, well, you know, fuck that.
Yeah, and now you just empty out the restaurant because Stinky McBritches strolled in with you. No, thank you.
More food for you and your homeless pal.
Yeah. Yeah, but he can't...
You could pay for two.
Or
if another single person comes in, you share a table. Split the bill.
Yeah, you should definitely have a loser section.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the same thing with those people that sit and camp in Starbucks. I've walked into a Starbucks looking for some place to sit, and there's one loser with a laptop at every single table. It's like, you guys coordinate and all sit at the homework table and let other people come in and sit down.
Well, I mean, I feel bad for her. There is a stigma, but at the end of the day, they can do what they want. I mean, I guess they're busy enough where they can turn away single people. That's ultimately what it comes down to. Because if nobody's
good, you know, like I said, I'm alone most of the time, you know, and I like to go to a restaurant. So there was somewhere like a place like that I wouldn't mind. If it was like a fancier restaurant, you know, and I'd be sitting there like alone, I feel like an asshole, you know. So it's it depends.
No, the buffet is the perfect place to solo dine because you can make rounds and you're not at your table very long, stuffing your face. Yeah, but listen, I don't like going to I rarely go to a movie by myself. Now I rarely go to movies in general, but when I was on the road, I rarely went to a movie by myself.
Yeah,
I would go to a movie by myself, eat by myself. I don't care.
I go. I'm a loner. You know, I go to concerts on my own. I go everywhere.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I mean, if I can't go and have somebody to talk to and make fun of people with, I'm not interested. All right, let's do an outstanding display of spite.
There's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce Outstanding Displays of Spite.
Parcel thieves fought back against a Texas couple who tricked them into stealing dirty diapers by spraying their house with cow manure. The Austin-based the Austin-based parents were among numerous victims who had become annoyed with a gang constantly stealing deliveries from their porches, so set up a booby trap using their toddler's waist. Yeah, you know what? Make your baby work for you. That's what I say. However, it backfired once the masked bandits realized they had poop-filled package on their hands. 30 minutes later, they came back with a giant bag of cow manure. The victim, only identified as Gabriella, told Austin station KXAN. They spread that all over our front porch and on our cars and the driveway. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. I called police. I filed a report, and now there's a detective on the case. This smells like trouble. Residents say the fecal fiasco, oh, New York Post, was the culmination of escalating tensions over the last month after several homeowners in the neighborhood noticed missing packages. Gabriella told KXAN at least a dozen households have been stolen from. The thieves have been caught on numerous doorbell cameras and tracked to the same black Chevy Suburban with no plates, but that has left little for cops to go off. Another victim, Brittany Walker, told the Post she was nursing her baby when she saw a brazen thief swiping a large package from our entryway in broad daylight. I just ran out with the kid still attached to my tit and said, I have a baby. This is a baby on my tit. Can you see the baby on my tit? And they looked at me and laughed because I had a baby on my tit. Walker said,
I got my tit, I don't know.
Adding the bandit still took her package and said, hey, you know, you got a baby on your tit? Austin police say homeowners can legally confront people stealing from their properties, but generally urge homeowners not to interfere, especially with organized gangs, as tempers can flare and situations can quickly become dangerous or life-threatening. I'm going to say something that might go against the grain here. I do think on the part of Gabriella, this was not an outstanding display of spite, because it came back to you as twice as bad. This was a fail as an outstanding display of spite. You did not think this through, and the people he were trying to spite outspited you.
I
think the funny part is that not only did he run off and go, all right, well, we'll go to another neighborhood. No. We're going to go to the nursery, and we're going to take some cow shit, and we're going to come back with it and throw it at the house. You know, that's funny.
Yeah, really. Well, and I want to point out that the lady with the baby, she had a booby trap. The other people, that was a duty trap.
Pip. Pip.
But, you know, to think that they had time, they weren't worried about getting caught. Like you said, they ran off to the nursery and said, now we're going to get him. I mean, who thinks like that? Going back to the scene of the crime.
They got so pissed off that they... Because think about it. He ran off with something, and then they opened the box, and there's baby shit in there. They got so fucking mad that they had to stop their day of robbing and thievery, run somewhere, steal it, because they're not buying it. Steal cow shit, and come back and throw it at the house. Yeah.
Who has time for that?
Because they were pissed. They were and pissed. It's, they're made to look like assholes. And they're like, really? Really? See what we do now. We're going to steal the cow shit.
Well, the other thing is they're driving around in broad daylight without plates on. Nobody notices this?
Yeah.
You know? I think that they're... Well, until they got the cash in all over the place. I think that their revenge with the duty diapers was brilliant.
Yeah, you know what's weird? Like we're actually rooting for the thieves in this one.
No.
In a way, yeah.
No.
Yeah, you just called them brilliant.
The duty diapers was brilliant.
No, it wasn't. It was not brilliant. They got outspited. They were dealing with a criminal element, and they came up and they lost.
But usually they've been hitting it. But usually a criminal steals shit and runs and doesn't come back. Maybe for a couple of weeks. No, they got so pissed off. Not only did they come back, they threw cow shit at them.
Listen to what you just said, Joe. They stole shit and ran. Yes, they did. Yeah. Yes, they did.
But that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, you know, cow manure is not like, you know, Skippy peanut butter. It's not that easy to spread. It's going to take some time.
It is. I can't believe that she couldn't unlatch for long enough to go out and get them.
No, that was a different woman. That was a different woman.
I know. I'm kidding. Okay. I'm kidding.
All right. Listen. I don't understand why when packages being stolen from your property are becoming a problem, you wouldn't call the police. I don't understand why you have to wait until the shit hits the car and the house for you to call the police. I don't understand. Hey, we got a problem in this neighborhood. We need some more patrols here. How about you guys do something about this?
Well, you never know. You know what, though? I think maybe the cops would say, well, if we can't see, you know, there's nothing much we can do. You know, maybe you have to tell the delivery people to hide it. And then it's like, all right, I'm going to let them steal baby shit. Now they're throwing shit at the house. It's like, you're actually calling the cops back for another reason. Well, there's nothing, you know, we talked about the packages. How about the cow shit all over my front door? What about that? All right, let's see what we can do.
Yeah.
All right.
It's getting to the point where somebody very bright has to devise some kind of place that could be in front of homes where you can drop a box in, but you can't get it out.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. I'm a crook and I'm stealing shit. And somebody puts in there, I'll laugh it off. I'm not gonna go and find cow shit and then throw it. I got other shit. There's a big screen TV on 3rd Street. The guy just is on vacation. That's where I'm going. Never mind the cow shit.
Right? Yeah. I'm moving on to the next place. Although
you know,
I think that
they might have stole a bunch of shit that morning and made their margin. And you had some free time, and it's like, all right, we'll go. It's Davin. It's almost like the time when we were in Alabama when we went to Sears. Because we were gonna throw ice at the fucking guy if he worked at the hardware department or wherever the fuck he worked.
Yeah.
So, like, we had free time. You know. He said, Tim, you remember so he said he worked in the home improvement department in Sears, and he disrupted the show. So I told Davin, I go, all right, we're gonna find ice and we're gonna bring bail money. And it was a Sears across the street from the gig. So we were gonna go to Sears and look for him, throw fucking ice at him while he tried to do his fucking job.
I'd love that.
Yeah, well, that didn't work out. We didn't find what we needed.
No, we didn't find him though. But we looked.
Damn.
We did look. You know,
I would have been in.
I am trying to find.
I have a good arm.
Oh, there it is. No. Yeah. There it is. Are you
throwing ice at him?
Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't find what I needed for the next segment, but I found it. All right. Very good.
I thought you were watching a ball game.
No, I was not. I was trying to find. I was trying to open up Google Chat so I could do segment 3. That's what I was trying to do. But I found it.
Right. Yeah, 63 would just be Gilda and the Lily.
Yes. All right. Let's come back. We'll do some scamming scammers. On the break, we got new music from Judy Pearson with In a Box, like a package, if you will. And Tommy Stoneberg with I'm Searching for Cow Manure, if you will. And you can learn more about both of those artists at deucemusic.com. Come back. We'll do some scamming scammers.